How long have you been involved in animal rights?
Well, I became a vegan in 1987, so that was 23 years ago. I got more seriously involved in animal rights probably 15 or 16 years ago. I originally went vegan principally for human rights and environmental reasons. I became a diehard animal rights activist after I read Christianity and the Rights of Animals by Andrew Lindsay in probably 1992. And I joined People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals as full-time staff running the vegetarian campaign in 1996.
Wow, it sounds like a big CV. I mean, I know you have been on many chats, and you do radio quite a lot. And it's really good to meet someone who is passionate. A lot of people that I talk to when we talk about PETA, the one thing that always sort of converts them is the undercover footage, Meet Your Meat.
Yeah, the Meet Your Meat video, and we've got a new and much better version of that. It includes fish. And it also talks about the health, environmental, and global poverty consequences of eating animal products. It's narrated by Paul McCartney.
Oh, wow.
It's available at meat.org, M-E-A-T.org, free for download and distribution. PETA is anti-copyright. We encourage you to take anything that's ours, make copies of it, hand it out, sell it to raise money for your group, whatever.
That's absolutely brilliant. Because I think, you know, the awareness raising is really a big one. And I know you have been under fire because you use apparently people say you use sexism a lot in your campaigns and all that kind of stuff. Apparently you never pay the models. They all do this for free, right?
Well, we take anybody famous. So if you go to our furisdead.com website right now, there are more men there than women taking their clothes off. And yeah, everybody does it out of the goodness of their hearts. Everybody does it all volunteer. So I think the sexism charge is a tough one to make stick. If you look at PETA's leadership, two out of our three board members are women, and the other one is a gay man. If you look at our senior staff, our vice presidents, executive vice president, president, there are only two straight guys among about 10 people. It's like, I think, six or seven women, a couple of gay men, and two straight men. But the top two people are both women. So
yeah, and I also think it really is important to... I think the argument always is, from an activist point of view, we always say that racism and speciesism and sexism is all the same thing.
Well, we certainly agree with that. We just don't think that... We think it's sexist to tell people what to do with their bodies, or to say that certain body types can use their bodies and other body types can't. If somebody is famous, we take everybody. For our activist demos, we take everybody. We think it's quite prude for somebody to say that, you know, we shouldn't be using sexual attraction to sell animal rights. That's not sexism, that's just reality.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, my personal point of view is whatever gets the point across does it for me, as long as nobody gets forced into doing something they don't want to do in the first place, which is apparently not something you would do anyway.
Right.
And the interesting thing is also you're doing this for quite a while, and you were mentioning in the beginning here the health risks for people, because this is an animal rights show, and I get a lot of stick for, you know, saying that I'm a vegan all the time and all that kind of stuff. But apparently eating animal products, dairy included, is not healthy. Could you give us a few examples of why it is not healthy to have meat on your plate?
I mean, if you think about it intuitively, you realize that any species that eats any significant amount of animal products, they don't have to cook the meat so that the bacteria doesn't kill them. It's not natural for human beings to be eating the flesh of other species. In the short term, it tends to make people fat, and it makes them lethargic. They have less energy, and they gain weight. In the long term, it's inextricably linked to heart disease, cancer, and stroke. You look at something like the American Dietetic Association and its counterpart in the UK, and they say, based on all of the research, that vegetarians and vegans have a fraction of the rate of heart disease and cancer. Those are the two biggest killers in the West, in the UK and the United States. And that vegetarians and vegans have a fraction of the obesity and diabetes rates of meat eaters. It's absolutely the healthiest diet to give up eating these animal products.
Apparently, I mean, you know, we don't even have to talk about the ethics of it. But I think, you know, the main problem that you're really facing is probably on a daily basis is that you have a major industry that defends it by basically any means necessary.
Yeah, the pro meat industries, they are massive, and they're happy to lie, just like the defense industry is happy to lie. Any industry that's trying to sell to the public, something that the public, if it knew more about it, wouldn't support, they have to lie. But we really do have right, and we have the public consciousness on our side. People across the globe are opposed to cruelty to animals, and when they learn that animals on these factory farms, animals in these slaughterhouses, they're treated in ways that would put everybody involved in jail if these were dogs or cats or other protected animals. When people learn about the mutilations, the animals who are still conscious when their throats are slit open, the hideous conditions they live in, people are outraged, and that's why the industry tries so hard to cover that stuff up.
And do you think it has gotten better over the years? So do you think people are waking up slowly?
Well, absolutely people are waking up. I mean, 30 years ago, people assumed that if you didn't eat meat, you would be unhealthy. That's what science was telling them. Now we know that the diametrical opposite of that is true, and we have overwhelming peer-reviewed research that says you don't need to support this cruelty. You'll be healthier if you don't. The environmental community is picking up on it. The guy who runs the International Panel on Climate Change, who got the Nobel Peace Prize with Al Gore a couple years ago, he's a vegetarian, and he advocates vegetarianism for environmental reasons. And then, of course, science is telling us more and more and more that the differences between human beings and other species, they're differences of degree, not kind. That's why Richard Dawkins calls other species our cousins and denounces what he calls speciesist arrogance. It's really just we will wake up to the fact that when you're eating meat, you're eating a corpse. Other animals are made of flesh and blood and bone, just like human beings. They have the same five physiological senses that we do. And a lot of people are doing it, but they're doing it because they haven't considered it. The more people think about it, the less they're going to support it.
And I think the interesting thing is also, you know, to really understand when people say to me often, you know, on the show, they always think I want human rights for animals. And I say to them, like, I would even settle for the basic right, which is the right to life.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've hit the nail on the head. There are a couple of ways to discuss this from an animal protection standpoint. The first is, if you don't have to kill, why kill? When you're eating meat, you're basically entering into this mercenary relationship where you're paying people to kill animals so that you can eat them. Most of us wouldn't kill and eat a dog or a cat, but there's no morally relevant difference between eating a dog or a pig, a cat or a chicken. And in fact, in animal behavior research, what we found to be true is that chickens and pigs are smarter. They do better on these cognition tests than dogs and cats. So the issue of taking life in order to eat is certainly a big one. Unfortunately, we have an equally strong argument, which is that these animals are so gratuitously abused in these factory farms and slaughterhouses. Chickens have their beaks chopped off, which is like chopping off the ends of your fingers. It causes chronic pain that lasts for more than a month. Animals are castrated without pain relief. The transport to slaughter and slaughter processes are excruciating for these animals. There's really just no excuse for anybody who cares about animals to continue paying people to abuse and kill them.
It's you know, there's no two ways about it. Because when we stop, you see, there's a lot of Europeans that go after the Chinese for eating dogs and cats, and they throw it back to us and say, like, well, you're eating cows. You know, apparently there's a big difference in or probably not, in how they are treated over there. But I think bottom line is that I think one day we will have to consider the fact that all life is valuable, full stop. Doesn't really matter if you talk about a bug or a horse as such.
Yeah, no question. And I think more and more people are recognizing that. Science is really beating down these artificial distinctions that human beings have attempted to prop up for so long. When you've got somebody on the level of Richard Dawkins, probably the foremost Darwin scholar living, talking about how differences between humans and other animals, all other animals, are really just differences of degree, it's only a matter of time before all of science grants this basic fact, and then our actions are going to have to align with what we know to be scientifically true. The human race is destined to stop eating animals, and it is up to all of your listeners and all of our supporters to bring that about as quickly as possible.
I think what is really interesting is that when you look at it, oftentimes, you know, back in the day, it would be the scientists or the so-called scientists, the people that are working in laboratories and all that kind of stuff, that would be sort of fighting against animal rights activists. Now even the people in those laboratories know that 95% of all the animal tests are pretty much useless for humans.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. I mean, they keep doing it because they make money from it. They keep doing it because it's what they've always done. But it's ethically indefensible, it's cruel to animals, and it's worthless. It's pouring money down a sinkhole.
And, you know, when I think the interesting thing is also how they sell it. My mother passed away from cancer, like many other people on the planet. Still, I wouldn't support cancer or any other form of whatever it is that tests on animals to hopefully find a cure for us. And it's a difficult one for people, because they think, you know, well, your mother is gone, now you don't support someone else. When in fact, it's this is absolutely not the point. It's just really, like we were saying, like, it's absolutely useless.
Well, for the same reason that I wouldn't support doing cancer testing on human babies or people of decreased mental capacity, I'm also not going to support doing any sort of cancer testing on any sorts of animals. It's ethically indefensible, no matter how useful it might or might not be. Of course, the argument that it's useless and that it steals money away from research that it would actually be useful is also just absolutely ironclad. Hey, Thomas, the police are here, and I should probably go talk to them.
Okay, see you then. Thank you so much.
I'm really sorry about the mix-up.
No problem. We probably get another shot somewhere soon. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Thanks a lot, Thomas. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.